living by faith. Two thoughts: a working faith from verses 1 to 3, and a faithful God, verses 4 to 8. God is working out his redemption plan for all mankind quietly amidst the lives of two seemingly insignificant characters, Ruth and Naomi, when God, by a famine, brought them back to the land of Israel after 10 years of departure. They have made the journey, as we saw last week, and now they are back home in the land of their inheritance. We see the favor of God upon his children as they sought to walk with him according to his will, albeit imperfectly. You know, as we saw last week, Naomi came back with a bitter spirit. Although physically she was back in the land, she felt that she had been shortchanged by God. She said, "I left Israel full, and I return empty." Well, as you look at the return of Naomi to Israel, you see the good hand of God leading and guiding her back to the fold again. This is the marvelous grace of God working in the lives of his people. Sometimes we don't know how to order our lives, but we know that there is a God whom we have committed our lives to, who providentially is in control of all situations, and he leads us, guides us, and brings us so that we can be back in the center of his will, where we have wandered and strayed away from him. And so you see the good hand of God working in the life of Naomi, you know, bringing Ruth, the daughter-in-law, a Moabitess, to take care of her all the way from Moab back to the land. She gave herself wholly to take care of this mother-in-law. No profit to her. She's not going to gain anything. As Naomi said to her, "I have no more husbands for you. Right, you follow me back." It is, as we said last week, it is a long journey, almost 120 kilometers, you know, by foot. And they were living in a time of the judges, a very difficult time. Right, the political, the social, the economic climate was very, very challenging. And God brought them back. But you see that these two women have committed their lives to God, especially for Ruth. The vow of consecration that Ruth made to follow Israel's God by following her mother-in-law back to Israel was pleasing in the sight of God. When we showed faith towards God, knowing that he's the one who undertakes to care for us, and he's the only one with that ability, because he's the one that, you know, gives us our life. When we have understood the source of our blessing, that's when we, you know, come back to the central focus of where life is, the jigsaw puzzles of life fall into place again. And we'll see in this chapter God's faithfulness in guiding and caring for the two widows. As we have said, the widows are the most helpless people in ancient Israel. They were despised and often victims of unfair treatment. No social status, no money often. Women don't earn money, having no influence, no husband to back or support them. Very vulnerable, easily bullied. Right? The most difficult is to be a widow and childless, right? No one to take care of them in their old age. Such a woman had no provider, no protector, no prospect of carrying on, having any descendants to take care of them in the old age. And that is the plight of Naomi and Ruth when they return to God in Israel. But you see that she had faith in Israel's God. She knew that this is a God whom she can rely on, she can put her trust in, and you see how she's going to experience the grace of God, the favor of God in her lives as she entrusts her life to God. She's going to take little steps of faith that would show us how, you know, every step God directs, every step God was there to take care. And so the two thoughts which we have said, a working faith, verse 1 to 3, a faithful God, verse 1, and Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. And so we see here in chapter 2 the beginning with an introduction, like a parenthesis to introduce how God would work out his grace through a man called Boaz. This man would be providing help to Ruth and Naomi. They don't know each other. And they are back in the land. And as it were, you know, they realize that they need to keep body and soul together. What to do? And here you see the movement of God to bring Ruth to meet with Boaz. And this meeting is no accident, no coincidence, no chance. But God is working out by this seemingly simple events of everyday life to bring forth a relationship that would culminate in the eternal prosperity of his people, because through the relationship that would come between Ruth and Boaz would come the line of the Messiah. It's interesting, isn't it? How in a time when things seem to be so working against Israel, right? Faith was waning, nothing good that you can speak about. You see God quietly working out his plan. So we are introduced now to Boaz. He was a kinsman, a relative of the Elimelech family. And we also told here that he was a man of means. Right? He was a mighty man of wealth. And so if anyone could help them, you'll find that it is this man, Boaz. And you see how God will mysteriously, by his providential hand, lead Ruth to work in Boaz's field. Verse 2. And Ruth the Moabite said unto Naomi, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace. He says that, let me just go out there, right, whichever field I would find, if the owner would show me favor and allow me to go and, you know, pick up some grain, then I would bring some food home for dinner tonight. If she doesn't go out, there would be no dinner that night. And so being a filial daughter-in-law, she knew that you know, you don't expect the elderly mother-in-law to go out, you know, to be under the hot sun, to do anything. Right? She'll probably faint along the way. And she, being the younger one, knew that, you know, the responsibility was upon her. And she knew that she was also a stranger in Israel, right? A foreigner. Right? She doesn't know anybody there. And she is a Moabiter, someone who is a Gentile, a despised race in the sight of Israel. And so, in against all these odds, she knew that she had to do something to help this poor mother-in-law of hers. If not, both of them would go hungry. Ruth had a faith to trust God, a faith that works, a faith that would courageously do her part. What do I mean? The law of God made provision for widows and strangers and the fatherless to glean in the field after the owners have gleaned. In Israel, God made provision to take care of the poor. God made provision to take care of the widows, the fatherless, the strangers, by commanding that they are not to glean everything after a harvest, but they are to leave something behind. Okay. And that's a very good principle that God has placed for the people of Israel to know and to follow. And Naomi, Ruth, they have understood, as it were, you know, that, yeah, there is something for them. God has made provision. But if they don't go out to the field, they are not going to be fed. And so they had to do something. And so you see Ruth taking that step, right, to go out. Deuteronomy 24, verses 18 to 22, gives to us from Moses the reason why Israel is to take care of the less fortunate among them. Right? But thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in Egypt, and the Lord thy God redeemed thee thence. Therefore I command thee to do this thing, when thou cuttest down thy harvest in thy field, and hast forgot a sheaf in the field, thou shalt not go again to fetch it. It shall be for the stranger, for the fatherless, and for the widow, that the Lord thy God may bless thee in all the work of thy hands. When thou beatest thine olive tree, thou shalt not go over the boughs again. It shall be for the stranger, for the fatherless, for the widow. When thou gatherest the grapes of thy vineyard, thou shalt not glean it afterward. Right? Go through once and don't return again. It shall be for the stranger, for the fatherless, and for the widow. And thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in the land of Egypt. Therefore, I command thee to do this thing. Well, you see, God's word, God's law, has written in it a provision of his grace that his people take care of the people around them, because they were once, right, bondmen and slaves, and God had taken care of them. God had prospered them. God has put them to this land, and now they become landowners, and they have their own vineyards, and now all these things are given to them. And he tells them that they would be instruments of grace to others. As a people of God, we realize that God's grace has come upon us. God's wisdom has come upon us so that we may know, you know, how to take care of our finances, how to take care of our lives, how to live within our means, how to take care of our family, you know, how to give and help the people who are less fortunate around us. Right? God gives to us all these good laws, whereby we can be an instrument of grace to the people around us. Boaz was such a person, right? God prospered him, and he did not, neglect the care for the less fortunate. And so when Ruth came and they meet, well, it was no accident that God sent her there to this generous man. Okay? And God wants us also to be, such a person to someone, that we may meet in the course of our daily life. Right? Someone that would come, someone that, may not have the means of subsistence. Right? There are people we know who are in this state. Right? And are we going to say that, it's going to cost us a lot, right? It costs us too much, to help them. We must not. Right? God give us the means. We become that instrument of God's favor to these people. And you see here that life was not supposed to be easy. Right? They were living in the time of the judges. Right? And this morning we were studying the time of the judges. Right? We were studying about the Midianites, the call of Gideon. We were studying about the invasion of the Midianites in Israel. How when they stole up their grain, they would quickly try to hide it when harvest comes, because the Midianites would know that it's harvest time and they would come and they would steal all the grain. So life was not so easy. Even if you are a landowner, God would send aggressors from outside. Okay? And they would plunder the Israelites. So Israel was also experiencing many rounds of invasion. So the land was, in a sense, over the 450 years of the times of the judges, quite chaotic. Okay. But you see here that although Ruth and Naomi didn't have much subsistence, as it were, but you see the grace of God taking care of them, leading them, guiding them, bringing them to a place of plenty in the home or in the vineyard of this man Boaz. Verse 3 says, "And she came, and she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and her help." This word is used to describe the word literally means a chance or an accident. Right? But the way, what we are looking here, right, is that it is surely not an accident. Okay? It is the hand of God, right, bringing them to the place, bringing her to the place where Boaz was. And Boaz was a relative, a kindred of their family. So she was going out there knowing not where to go, but the Lord led her. The first thought that we have, a working faith. She went out and the Lord brought her to where He wanted her to be. And so Ruth did not happen to come to Boaz's field to glean that day. But the Lord guided her, as the steward of Abraham would say when he was asked to go and find a wife for Isaac. He said, "I, being in the way, the Lord led me." Obviously, he prayed and he sought the Lord. He said, "How can I find the wife for my master Isaac, or my master's son Isaac?" And lo and behold, he came to the well and he found Rebecca. Was it coincidence? Well, it was not, because the subsequent events showed that this was the lady that fit all the criteria for the wife that Abraham had sought for his son. And the same here. You see, Boaz coming to meet Ruth, it was no coincidence, but it was by the marvelous providence of God. We see that we serve a faithful God. The psalmist said in Psalm 146, verse 5, "Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God." She went out not knowing what to expect that day. So chapter 2 is a 24-hour day. Or as it were, you know, it's a morning to evening. And we would see how that day would turn out. And we see that, you know, she experienced the grace of God, the favor of God leading and guiding her. And that's something that is very marvelous for a child of God, to understand that, you know, there is a Father in heaven who takes care of us. Although we cannot plan our own lives, as it were, we don't know how, but we commit our lives to God, and you will see that, you know, God would surely direct us, as in the case of Ruth. She was surely, you know, a very insignificant person, right, in the sight of all Israel, a stranger, a Gentile, an enemy of Israel. And yet God is going to use her to bring forth the king of Israel. Boaz or Ruth, Jesse, David. Wow. You cannot fathom and understand how God can use us when we would put our faith and trust in him. When we commit our lives to him, we see the grace of God, the favor of God in our lives. Spurgeon said this. He says, "There is no attribute more comforting to his children than that of God's sovereignty." That we serve a sovereign God, a God who is in control of all situations, and he overrules everything. And that, you know, he is faithful to his promise, to his care, to his love. And although God, as he said, God is the one that ordained adverse circumstances, and yet, you know, in the severest trials, sovereignty overrules them. How God is the one who works overall. He is on the throne. And as we realize that we are a child of God, we must realize also how privileged we are, that there is a God in heaven that takes care of us, and that we, you know, as it were, his children on earth, seemingly so insignificant, and yet there is that lifeline, you know, from God. Just like Jacob, remember when he had to run from his brother who hated him, he stole the brother's birthright. The mother sent him out. Isaac, the father, prayed for him and said, go and find a wife in the family of your mother. She left, and he left the family. And then what happened? While he was on the way, he came to this place called Bethel. What happened there? Well, God showed himself to him. He was he was at the gate of heaven. God showed him his glory. You know, he saw the angels at the gates of heaven. He saw the glory of God, you know, with him, and the promise of God to take care of him. And he was encouraged by that vision. And he said to God that, you know, if you would prosper me, I would give you back 10% of what all that you have given me. We realize that, you know, we don't deserve anything. But there is a God who is the creator of heaven and earth, whom we, when we place our trust in him, we would experience his sovereign care. God is faithful to care for his children. Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 to 33. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, what ye shall drink, yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking care, taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? Why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, and they toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of this. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, all ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For all this do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. God knows what we need as earthlings. But God has a higher purpose for us to live, a higher calling for our lives. He had a particular purpose for our lives. For Ruth, it was to bring forth the Messiah. And God is going to use her, right, to this end. And for us too, God has a purpose for our lives. He is coming again, and he tells us that we are to go forth and sound the alarm to the people around us. You know, this Monday that has just passed is called Black Monday. Why? Because the stock exchange in Shanghai has fallen more than 40% in 2 weeks. Never before. Very, very severe. Very, very great. You see the world crying, not knowing an answer. I have a contractor who said, I don't know what to do. I'm supposed to have a contract with two restaurants in Singapore. Over $1 million. 6 months of rental paid for. And now the company from China is saying that, you know, we would forego that investment for the 6 months of rental. We will not put in $1 million to renovate. So it was a contractor doing renovation. So he said, now everything is on hold. I've made plans, but, you know, nothing is materialized now. I have all these resources, my workers, who's going to take care of us now? Yeah, banks cannot react to such a catastrophic movement. And you would see more things coming in the days. So the world would panic. The world would be asking, what happened? Why is it like that? But we as a child of God, as a children of God, we realize that we are under the care of God. We live by the grace of God, by the unmerited favor of God in our lives. And how can we appropriate it? By abiding in him, by trusting him, by calling to him whenever we have any need. And Ruth came out that morning with a need. But in faith, God guided her. And she returned home that day with food enough for herself and Naomi. And not only that, God is working out His great plan of salvation. You know, we were studying about Gideon today. Gideon was called by God to rescue Israel out of the hand of the Midianites. And he says, I'm from the poorest family in Manasseh. Who am I? You know, poorest family, poorest tribe. Who am I to do anything for God? Well, the Lord showed him and said to him, you are a mighty man of valor. Then he said, what might? He said that, you know, he make an assessment of himself, and he said, cannot. But God said to him that if you would abide in me, then, you know, I would do something through you. And so he had to be convinced, and God convinced him, you know, by two miracles, that God wants him to do this. God has a plan for every one of us. And He has a purpose for His church in these last days to be His instruments of righteousness to a dying world. And this coming Lord's Day, we are going to have our gospel rally. While the world is crying, while the world have no answer to the catastrophe, you know, when things bite the pocket, that is the biggest, that's the greatest bite, you know. And if you have one family or two who is in trouble, you find that, you know, wow, everyone would have to scramble, and it's hard. We remember in 2007, 2008, those who got into trouble, just one or two, wow, it's really tough time. Because when you are hit by these things, you find that, you know, you have no way out, as it were. And the people go into depression, you know, some suicidal, because they just don't know what to do, shocked by what happened. And so may God use His people to be an instrument of grace during this time when the world flutters in uncertainty. May His people be firmly anchored and grounded in an all-powerful, all-providing, loving God. And may our faith stand strong, and may His grace abide in us, that we can be an instrument of grace to the people around us. A working faith. A faithful God. May the Lord help us. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we want to thank Thee for bringing us once again to Thy house in this night of prayer to be interceding for Thy people and for the world at large. O Lord, we understand the calamity that has taken place around the region, and Lord, may Thou be merciful to use this time that Thy gospel may be given and awaken slumbering hearts and bring some to salvation. By Thy own mercy, this I pray in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. You know, with the currency devaluing, we see that almost 88 million Indonesians are living below $2 a day. And they are, with the devaluation, many of them will be going hungry. They have really barely enough. And so you would see chaos arising in the world around us. And may God help us during this time of need. And if you were to read the news, Venezuela, supposed to be a very rich country, today they are very, very in deep trouble, you know, looting, and people behave like animals because they just don't have enough. The shelves are empty. And it can happen to Singapore. We don't have any resources, you know. Do not think that we are the most, you know, protected of all. But we realize that it is only by the grace of God. So may we continue to abide in Him and pray that His mercy may continue to abide and that we may be His instruments of righteousness during this time.